Welcome to the Mending Trauma Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Amy Hoyt, and along with my sister, Lena Hoyt, a licensed marriage and family therapist, we want to help you recover from trauma, whether it's childhood trauma, complex trauma, PTSD, or any other trauma sustained from abuse or narcissistic relationships. We want to help you develop skills and ways that can help you to recover from the symptoms and the effects of trauma. We are so glad you're here. Let's dive in. Hi, Amy here. Are you feeling stuck or overwhelmed by things that pop up in your daily life? And perhaps these are because of past traumas or toxic stress? Have you tried traditional therapy and found that it wasn't enough? I know that was the case for me. That's why we developed the Whole Health Lab. Mending Trauma has put together a program that combines the latest research with proven methods to help you recover from trauma and move forward from these daily stressors and triggers. We use somatic therapy, EMDR, cognitive behavioral therapy, and internal family systems therapy. We use nervous system regulation and many other tools so that we can combine the best methods that are identified in the research to help you recover without being completely overwhelmed. So you can work on trauma on your own pace, your own time, and still with the mentorship and support of a highly trained, certified staff. That's us. No more waiting for appointments or sitting in traffic, driving to see a therapist. With our online program, the Whole Health Lab, you can access it from anywhere, anytime, even on an app. Visit mendingtrauma.com/Whole Health Lab and learn more. Get your questions answered. We've got a frequently asked questions section and sign up so that you can have this life-changing program in your world today. Don't let your past hold you back any longer. Take control of your future, and we can't wait to see you in the Whole Health Lab. Hi, everyone. Welcome back to another episode. Today, we are talking about how trauma affects our perception, the way we perceive people, events, and such an interesting topic. So let's get started. Lena, first, let's talk about what trauma does to our brain specifically.
Yes, because it's the brain changes that ultimately impact our perception. And trauma has some really significant impacts on the brain. It's not every traumatic experience that is going to affect the structure of the brain. The research that we looked at for this podcast indicated that it was studies done on people who had an official PTSD diagnosis. It was interesting to note how after years and years of research, and finally with the imaging that we have these days, there is an ability to notice that after a PTSD diagnosis, you actually have changes in your brain structure. And so, you know, 40 years ago, maybe even 30 or 20 years ago, we used to think that PTSD and those symptoms were about moral fortitude and having the strength of will and character. And that's not what it's about at all. It's about physiological brain changes that alter your ability to see things from a neutral standpoint, that alter your ability to consolidate memory, that alter your ability to access your prefrontal cortex and the executive functioning of the brain. So it's super fascinating.
It is. And, you know, a couple things I'm thinking of as you're speaking. One, the studies are done on people with PTSD because that's the only diagnosis that's considered valid. We know that complex trauma is not recognized in the DSM-5. So we can extrapolate from these studies that are done on PTSD that a lot of this will also apply to people who have complex trauma. And the second thing I'm thinking of is that when we have those brain changes that are actually structurally, there's a whole body of research that's just beginning to come forward that shows that the same structural changes we have in the brain, the shrinking of the hippocampus, the effects of the prefrontal cortex and the amygdala, that is very similar to a traumatic brain injury. And so a TBI has literal changes to your brain structure that are similar to PTSD.
Correct. Yep. And the interesting thing is that with the TBI, depending on where the brain injury occurred in your brain or on your brain, to your brain, you can have these different effects. But I think it's astounding. I remember when you shared this with me a couple of years ago that the research is indicating that trauma changes the brain structure and it can be considered an injury to the brain.
So you kind of talked about the prefrontal cortex, the amygdala, the hippocampus. Let's just quickly go over what these changes do to us. So we know the prefrontal cortex helps us with our executive functions, which are decision-making, logic.
Accurate perception.
Okay, so keep that in mind. And then the amygdala, we know, is our threat response, alerting us to danger. Okay. And then our hippocampus is in charge of what?
Emotions and memory, primarily. And so some of the stuff that I was reading this past week had a very good explanation for why when somebody is a witness to a traumatic event or has a traumatic event occur to them, there are holes in the narrative. And it's because of the impact to the hippocampus. And so I can remember years ago, I went to the National Center for Missing and Exploited Children to attend a national training on the impact of sex trafficking and abduction and basically trauma. And one of the speakers was an attorney who came in and talked about how there needs to be specializations for attorneys who are working with victims of crime for their testimonies, because the narrative isn't cohesive and full. There are gaps in it, because when you're in an emotionally overwhelming situation, you can't consolidate the memory in a consistent timeline. It just doesn't work that way. How the brain does it is it takes these snapshots of different instances or different seconds or whatever in the traumatic event. And so that's why the narrative isn't coherent. It's not because the victim is lying. It's because, yeah. And did we talk about Broca's area last week too with the word, the verbalization?
The speech center being shut down?
Yes. Yes, because that also impacts when you're having a traumatic experience that shuts down and you can't access your verbal language.
So those are good refreshers for our listeners about what those areas of the brain do, since we're talking about how they get changed specifically. So the prefrontal cortex after PTSD or during PTSD, I guess, PTSD by nature is after because it's post-traumatic.
Right. But the interesting thing is that part of what happens with PTSD is your brain and body think you're still in it at the moment.
Yes. But the point I'm trying to make is that the brain, the prefrontal cortex becomes less active due to trauma and PTSD. Okay. And then the hippocampus also becomes less active.
Correct. It actually shrinks in size.
Yes. And then the amygdala becomes overactive. So we have an overactive threat response and an underactive logic, perceptual, you know, wise mind center and an underactive memory and emotional center. Knowing all of this, I think it's pretty clear how perception changes. My gosh, how do any of us, I think one of the most important things we can talk about is when we have this knowledge, it helps us approach ourselves with some compassion, other people as well. And, you know, we've all been in conversations where we're saying something that we feel is benign or we're asking a straightforward question and the perception, because of the perception of the other conversation partner, they all of a sudden have a lot of defendedness or they're answering a completely different question that we didn't ask. And that's difficult because we're trying to figure out how to de-escalate or how to get the information we need. And this can happen at work or at home we're kind of talking at cross paths accidentally.
Yeah. Because they're responding to their own trigger.
Yes. Okay. So knowing all of this information and how perception does get mixed up, what can we do about it? Because I, as a flawed human, I don't realize when my perception's off.
No, because it's our perception.
Exactly. So I think I'm the one who's accurately perceiving the situation. How do we combat that? How do we deal with that?
We deal with it the same way that we deal with any of the things that we've talked about over the few years of our podcast. We need to find ways to calm the body down and the brain down. And just talking about the tragic or traumatic experiences does not do either of those things. So we're looking at the kind of interventions that would be classified as bottom up, so from body to brain, as primarily the way to evoke sustained change in the nervous system. And when we have this ability to calm the brain down over time, then the amygdala can finally stand down from the threat response. The hippocampus comes more online, so we have more memory consolidation and we have better emotion regulation. And our prefrontal cortex becomes more active because it's not being hijacked by the fight or flight brain, the response in the amygdala.
Yeah, that makes so much sense. So I guess what I'm saying is you may not realize your perception is off. However, you're going to have a lot of the 40 symptoms of trauma that we talk about. And so knowing that you have quite a few symptoms of trauma, whether or not you've been diagnosed with PTSD, or you're like, I know I have complex trauma based on all these symptoms that, you know, we're always talking about. That's, I think, when we can start this process of realizing in a conversation, oh, perhaps my perception, maybe I'm feeling defended. I'm not sure if I'm understanding this dynamic correctly right now or accurately.
Yes, that takes a lot of energy to do that. And so it's not just awareness that comes into play with that kind of thing. It's also insight. So you have the awareness that maybe your perception has been altered in general because of traumatic experiences or CPTSD. And then the insight is, how is this impacting me on a daily basis in my relationships and communication with other people? And the insight can allow us to have the ability to combine with the awareness so that we then can start taking even micro steps to make sure that when we're having a strong reaction to something, we engage in the double breath sigh, or we engage in a couple of deep diaphragmatic breaths. And that is designed to calm down the body and the amygdala so that your perception may be altered and you won't see threat where there is none.
Yeah, that's a great tip. I love that. If we have a loved one that is maybe not as self-aware, and we can see, or a coworker, we can see that, you know, they've got symptoms of trauma, that our conversations tend to be a little more difficult with them because of these perceptual issues, how can we address that? Or what can we do to make the relationship or the co-working more sustainable for us?
We talk a lot about co-regulation in regards to this type of thing. And in order to have co-regulation be effective, we need to do our part to maintain our own emotion and physical regulation. And when we start with that, that is always going to be more productive than raising the stress level, raising the antagonism, that raising the reactivity, that sort of thing. When we're able to do that, then we can start using communication tools a little differently. So one thing that can be helpful is to say, I think that maybe you're not hearing what I asked because it seems like you're having a strong reaction to that. And I want to make sure that you heard me. Can you tell me what you heard me say? Now, depending how agitated the person is in front of you, they're not going to be able to do it. And they're going to think you're calling them dumb and stupid. And that's not what's happening. So you have to kind of have this elegant preface, which can include, I think we're off to the wrong start. This communication, I wanted it to be productive. Let's see if we can figure out where we went wrong. Not where did you go wrong? You're mishearing me, that sort of thing.
Yes, yes. I love that. Okay, great. Okay, so any last tips or words of advice for anyone who's dealing with kind of perceptual issues because of PTSD or trauma?
Yes, when you have, when either you experience the perception of threat everywhere, be kind to yourself and understand that it came out of a chain of events or the events surrounding a traumatic problem or memory. And as soon as we get really critical of ourselves, we're actually back in the amygdala and the fight or flight response. And that will not help us. It'll continue to make the perception very difficult to see clearly. And so we want to be careful about that. But the other thing is that all of this research shows that you can heal your brain from these injuries, basically, that occur with PTSD. And that with the work you do to heal your trauma, you actually increase blood flow to your prefrontal cortex and your hippocampus. And those become more online more easily and readily. And you are less hijacked by your amygdala or your fight or flight response. And so there's a tremendous amount of hope.
Yes, I love that. I love ending with hope because it's true. We've seen through our work with neurofeedback and through our own, you know, anecdotal, you and I and other people we know, we've seen major, major shifts in perception, in even memory, ability to remember more and not be as dissociated. So I know there's just so much hope, and I think that's a great, great message. Thank you so much. And thanks everyone for joining us. We will see you next week.
Thanks for listening to this week's episode of the Mending Trauma Podcast. Lane and I are really grateful that you spend time with us each week. We know you have a choice and that time is currency. We would love if you would share this episode on social media and tag us so we can reshare. If you feel so inclined, go and give us a 5-star review wherever you listen to pods so that we can get the word out and help more people. We know that we are all working hard on our mental health, and we wish you great success this week in implementing these new skills. We'll check in next week.